Off the ball
on News Talk
in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
Ryan O'Driscoll and Eddie O'Sullivan on the way after 8 o'clock, followed by Ray Parler, followed by the football show. But first up, earlier on, we got suited and booted at number 22 on South Ann Street in Dublin with thanks to Benetti Menswear. Check out benetti.ie for more details. We did a Facebook Live. Jason McAteer and Stephen Hunt were in town to discuss the World Cup playoffs. So at this point, we'll jump in the conversation where Jason McAteer is talking about how we set up, what he made of Saturday night's performance.
I think we are better sometimes than what the media make us out to be.
Okay.
I think we have got some talent in the team. But you've got to manage a playoff, a two-legged playoff, even domestic level at European competitions. You've got to manage the situation and to go away from home. You know, it's all right saying, you know, the advantage is with us because we play the second leg at home. But if you get beat 3 or 4 nil, which I have been in an away first leg. With Liverpool, we got done by Paris Saint-Germain 3-0. It's too much to claw back, even at Anfield, with the players that we have. We got it back to 3-2 and we just never got over the line. It's too much. You've got to stay in the game.
Yeah.
You've got to give yourselves the opportunity. And I always felt it, you know, we are very, very organised, very committed and disciplined in the way we shape up and defend. We can do it very, very well. You know, we were always going to go away from home and make it very awkward for the Danes to score. And in their defence, you know, I've played a lot of games in Liverpool where teams come to Anfield and drop deep and shut up shop and play narrow. You do start going from back to front in the end, you know, just to try and win bits further up the pitch to get something that breaks for you. And we frustrated them, and that's why they did it. You know, you can play all these fake passes at the back, I agree. You know, it looks pretty and all. You're not getting anywhere, really, because we were so deep. They were trying to entice Ireland out. They couldn't do it because we were disciplined.
But that's interesting, because Kenny Cunningham felt we were too deep. So you're saying, actually, not that we were too deep, it's that they were trying to suck us out.
Kenny is a big believer in clean sheets, and we kept the clean sheet, so...
How can you be critical of being too deep when we got the result we went for? It worked.
Yeah.
I suppose his argument was, if we had pressed up in the more... Say, take the goal in Cardiff as an example.
Yeah.
If we had set a few traps for them, was the
That was a once-off.
Yeah, I know, but he was saying that he felt we pressed them a bit more in Cardiff. He said we were very passive in Copenhagen. And if we had actually pressed them a bit more, it's not like they were world beaters. We could have nicked the ball higher up the pitch, and we will, but you know, we've got enough players. Then if we get the ball in their half to actually do something, so he said we never once went up with them. Like he's okay with us being deep some of the time.
We were deep,
and but it was a one off.
It was a once off, but everybody was deep. It wasn't if Darren Murphy was isolated. He come back behind the ball. He was only playing as a number 10 almost. So everyone was deep and compact, which is what you want away from home in the first leg. We have begrudges in this country. Like, what's wrong with them? Like, just
the thing about the Welsh, one, they didn't have any pace to hurt us.
Yeah.
So you can afford to play a little bit higher because you don't, you know, you feel your centre halves have got the pace of their forward players. They're never going to get in behind you.
Yeah.
And it was a one off game. So we pressed in the middle of the park rather than the Danes. We sat on the edge of the box. And when it went into our final third, we then pressed and won the ball and cleared it. Gradually stepped up a little bit, and then they come back. We went back a little bit, and I thought it was a perfect game plan. And yeah, possibly with a bit more quality, we might have nicked the goal. But we brought them back to Dublin very much in the game, and that was the plan.
Yeah.
And we've succeeded in doing it. So pat on the back.
I think the result on the back. Sorry. And now the table turns a little bit. Denmark will have a bit more space to play, because we will be pressing. We can't it'll be different for them too. Their shackles will be off a little bit, the home pressure, so we'll have something different to deal with in terms of space in behind. We will press away from home.
If you're we're here obviously with Stephen Hunt and Jason McAteer. If you're thinking we're suspiciously well dressed, it's because we're here with thanks to Benetti Menswear, a brilliant Irish brand, and they've kitted us out, so we're looking very dapper to discuss the game on Tuesday. Facebook questions: this Irish jersey here signed by all the players will go to the best question asked. So here's a question in then from Richie. If things go wrong tomorrow night and we go a goal down, what are the lads' feelings on how and if we can turn it around in terms of substitutions, change of tactics? Will they have learned to be more composed after the Serbia game? There's a lot in that. So just take the initial point. The scary prospect for us tomorrow is going a goal down. Can we score two, realistically, is a big worry.
This is why Martin gets paid the money he does, because he's got to have plan B. He's got to have options off the bench that can have an impact on the game, whether it's through Wes, whether it's through Shane Long or Darren Murphy, whoever's going to come off the bench, nobody can guess Martin's team most of the time. Yeah. So does he have options to change it? Will he have an option to go two up front if he doesn't go with two up front from the start? Personally, I would like to go two up front right from the start,
right,
and then maybe have Wes Hoolan to come on, or then at least leave Shane on the bench or Murphy, someone that can have an impact. Like Darren Murphy's a striker. I don't call him an impact player really, but I would call Wes, Shane Long, that could change the game from the bench if they don't play.
Mm. I think it'd be quite tactical, to be honest. I think it'll be very much of what we've seen in Denmark from Ireland in the first half an hour. You know, we won't want to go a goal down straight away. I think the first goal will be crucial, whoever gets it, because both teams can defend. I think if you look through the qualifiers, Denmark can defend as well. I think they only conceded 8 goals. We only conceded 6. So, you know, both teams can defend. But Martin knows if we are a little bit too expansive, a little bit offer too much space to them, they've got players that can hurt you. You know, you don't want Eriksen in that little pocket pulling strings. And he'll be very wary of that. And I think we'll work our way into the game. The crowd will play its part. And I think if we get into the second half 0-0, I think that's when it'll start opening up, and that's when the options will come in of whether he goes then two up top.
Mm.
You know, we've got a bit of pace because they'll push it. If we do go a goal down, obviously we've got to score 2. You might as well go for it. You might as well change it straight away and go for it, because if you go 2 down, you're in big trouble. So
that's slightly different maybe to what O'Neill was saying. O'Neill was saying post-match and today in his press conference, well, we'll have to do more on the ball, we'll have to be more expansive. But listening to you guys...
It's reverse psychology.
You think it's going to be sit tight as well. Yeah. And he'd even take a 0-0 probably, but he's just waiting to nick
it. He's already said they might score a goal. That kind of takes the pressure off the defence a little bit. They know they're going to head it and kick it and clear it, which is what Duffy does well. So it's the other thing, when we have to play a little bit, can we open up?
Can we?
Yes, we can. I think we can press them high. We can do. It depends on their striker, who they play. It's always like anything. If they have a striker that runs in behind, then we're going to have to be wary of that. But if they have a big striker that they can lump it up to, then we'll eat that up all day long.
Yeah.
Because Damien Duff said on Saturday, he's disappointed on Saturday. He said we never went toe to toe with them, and he said our form at the Aviva, there's no reason to think we're going to go through or take the game to them there. I don't think we're good when we take the game to teams.
No, I agree. That's why we won't.
So we'll sit deep again.
I think Martin will be very happy if he gets to the 75th minute and it's 0-0.
Right.
And then he's got a decision to make. Then you're looking at tiredness, fatigue setting in. I mean,
they'll go deeper as well as the game goes on, because they'll be happy to go to extra time, make it as nervous. The longer the game goes on 0-0, they're going to feel a bit more comfortable with it and the pressure will be off them.
Yeah.
But I think we will play higher. I think we will press a bit more aggressively than we did Saturday night. That's just natural because we're at home.
Yeah. David O'Donoghue says there was a lot at stake in Copenhagen. You can understand why the team set up the way it did. Tomorrow will be a different story. I expect the lads to manage the game and to really go for it in the last 20 minutes. See, it's very hard to know, because obviously if it's nil all with 20 minutes to go, I appreciate a goal for us is big, but a goal for them in the last 20 wins them the game. Yeah. Like, I wonder if it's nil all with 20 minutes to go, rather than us thinking, oh, we've got a great chance here, do we suddenly think we really can't concede now? Like, we could be dropping very deep last 20. Because we just can't concede.
We'll be aggressive early on, I think. Cautiously aggressive.
Okay.
Controlled aggression.
Yeah.
Everything that comes with the manager's UEFA B, UEFA A license will all come out in the first 10 minutes before we go out. Like, so I think we'll be on the front foot for sure. And then we'll manage the game. We have experienced players that have been in the major tournament now. If they get there, then they'll obviously be in a greater place.
Who do you want to start? So the changes, you presume Callum O'Dowd is out and Myler comes back in. That's a no-brainer.
He's going to come back in.
So other issues, does Shane Long come back in? Does Wes start? Didn't see any game time, obviously, on Saturday. What would you like to see?
I think if you get it to 0-0, that's when the likes of Wes and Shane Long then come on. Okay. Real fresh pace, creativity you've got with them two players. I don't think he'll make many changes, apart from the Myler one will obviously come in with his experience and his quality. I think he'll play 4-5-1. I think he'll stay that system. And I really believe he'll want to get it to... Obviously, he'd love to obviously go in front as early as he could. Mm. But if it goes 0-0, I think up to 70, 75 minutes, I think he'd be really happy, because then he has got them two players to come on and offer something different. And like I said before, you know, and once he's played, you know, fatigue in these games, mental fatigue sets in because the pressure of the whole scenario... You know, that plays its part. They've travelled. There's a lot of bit of travelling involved as well. The pitch, you know, fatigue physically. So you've got pace with Long and you've got creativity with Houlihan.
Yeah.
You know, they're great assets to bring on.
They have to be ready.
Yeah.
It's far too easy to sit on the bench and watch the game. They need to be up to speed. 15, 20 minutes could be vitally important for the team, and not spit the dummy out and be ready to go.
And you got to think of this team that got that 0-0.
Yeah.
Very organised. They've known the jobs. They would have worked on set pieces. They would have, you know, you start making three or four changes and then all of a sudden players like might just switch off, might know the jobs and that.
Yeah. See, that's an issue of debate over how much they're doing in training and how organised they really are, because
don't be doing a lot.
They don't seem to do much at any stage under O'Neill. They don't know the team beforehand. Like people wonder how much are they.
You don't buy the same car, do you? So when you get a manager, you get different things. And whether they do or not,
what's your sense? What have you sense heard through the grapevine?
Sense is they go and win the game.
No, come on. What have you heard? Are they doing much in training? Are they going through patterns? Are they working on set pieces? Or is it all a bit old school, Brian Clough kind of school?
Of course, there is old school in there. But there's four or five coaches there with him as well. You'd imagine that they're all having a little bit of impact with him. Whether that's, okay, Mark, I've noticed on the video that you're marking him too tight.
Yeah.
Be careful with it.
So that is
little bits of information that can be as good as having an hour on the pitch of setting up set pieces and Aidan McGeady switching off for Trapattoni for 10 minutes and Trapattoni having heart attacks.
Yeah.
But that's just different ways of coaching. I'm sure you'd have had different managers as well.
So you're saying under Trap, the likes of McGeady get bored silly and switch off.
We're all bored silly. But yeah. He used to switch off a little bit more than the rest of it. And his body language would be, I'm switched off here. Do you know what I mean?
And Trap would go nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you think under O'Neill, because it doesn't make sense to a lot of us listening to not do that much work on the training ground during the week. But you're saying,
you can do it with video.
There's an upside to not doing that much work.
You can do it with videos, or you can say, "Oh, actually, how come he become available on a corner? Who is marking him?" There's different ways of doing it.
And is that happening? Do we know?
I don't know. I generally could have easily rang a few of the boys today, picked the team, but I wouldn't put them in a situation to put them in that. I don't think it's fair on them. So,
what have they said generally about the amount of work that has been done in camp across the week?
Very difficult to know.
Hunty,
come on!
You're holding out on me now.
I'm not. There's different styles, isn't there? There's no right style. There's Mourinho and then there's Klopp.
Yeah.
Klopp closes down, presses, Mourinho sits in, and there's rights. And it's irrelevant once we win games and we play on the front foot.
Exactly, yeah.
Did you like finding out a team late?
I think media these days are too easy to find out things. Jack, what did Jack do in training? Would you know?
No, I don't have a clue. You know.
Would you have heard?
No.
Yeah, I was there, yeah.
Well, obviously you've heard now, because you're saying to me you're kind of instigating that we don't do much.
You hear that through the grapevine that there's not much being done.
What are we not doing much of? What do you think we're not doing much of?
Work on set pieces, work on patterns, work on...
If you're a manager, we've totally flipped the interview here, but that's all with it. What would you like to see us do more of?
Well, you see, okay, now we're talking. So I would like to know why we're not doing more on the ball, because I've seen this in too many games where centre-half has the ball, our full-back has the ball, and it doesn't look to me like a team who know what they're trying to do. Like, I don't care if
we've got no
shape, pattern,
game plan.
Yeah, we score goals randomly, which can work, but it's a bit random. I don't see the method.
So playing out from the back, get the tactics board out here. And playing out from the back, you could normally say, right, two centre halves, split Liverpool away, centre midfielder comes in the gap, full backs are pushed on.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
No.
We don't do it.
Yeah.
But if you look at that, from a tactical and a footballing point of view, they probably only pass it out from the back once. They still split every time, but most of the time they just squeeze up together. But generally, the only team I've seen it recently is Reading, how they're so flamboyant with their passing, they're ridiculously good at it.
Mm.
But
we play very conservatively. We play very compact, deep, narrow, play on the break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't press high, I don't think. I think you say don't press high. We don't press in the final. Like a Liverpool would press on the edge of the opponent's box.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
Yeah.
Like Wales, we pressed on the halfway line. Against Denmark, we pressed probably on the edge of our box. We all pressed. That's how deep we were.
Yeah.
But that's how we play. We play on the break. We play very organised, compact football. So, you know, it might look like they don't know what they're doing, but that's what they do. And they play percentages. I like to think Martin is a percentage manager, where he puts balls in an area where we have a good percentage chance of winning it.
Mm-hmm.
Very much like Jack. Jack was very back to front, but he loved the diag, he loved the big man. And our job was literally get a forward as quick as we can and squeeze and try and win the ball in high areas. Win the ball back, put a cross in the box for the big man who made his way into the box.
Yeah.
And the little man, if the knockdown, the little man was there, Aldo, whoever it was, Robbie Keane, to pick up the bits.
Yeah.
It worked for Jack.
If we do change our philosophy and our whole FEI like DNA or whatever, we're going to take 6 years of playing that way, of really passing out from the back, really over-exaggerating our passing game. And it might take 6 years before you see any success. I think our fans deserve to be at tournaments.
I agree. I don't expect us, by the way, to suddenly start playing like Barcelona.
No.
I'm not saying that at all.
Yes,
I don't mind if we go direct.
Yeah,
Jack Charlton arguably had probably the best Irish team there's ever been.
Now, he should have played a bit more football.
Well, there you go. Yeah. There's the argument. Yeah. But he had his philosophy and it worked for Jack. I remember signing for Liverpool where you couldn't give the ball away.
Mm.
It was sacrilege to give the ball away. You had to keep it.
Yeah.
And I remember playing for Ireland, knocking a ball inside to Andy Townsend on the halfway line. Jack pulled me at half-time. You ever play that ball again, you'll never play for me.
Yeah.
Ever again. And he said, I just want you to kick it into that space ahead of you and chase it.
Yeah.
And that's literally what we had to do.
Yeah.
And then I'd go back to Liverpool. And if I tried that at Liverpool, what Jack wanted me to do, I'd get dropped by Roy Evans and Ronnie Moran. So, you know, I found it very difficult picking between the two. But we had arguably some fantastic footballers, Roy Keane, Andy Townsend, you know, myself was from Liverpool, Babsy was at Liverpool, Dennis Irwin, Gary Kelly from Leeds, you know, players who could really, really play.
Mm.
And Jack just didn't want us on the ball at all.
You talked there, interestingly, about the subs having to be tuned in, ready to go. You were good at that. Like, I would say that was one of the best aspects of your game. It's not easy being a sub. So what were you doing during a game to be ready when you come on?
I think, first of all, the love of playing for Ireland. You think, okay, I need to be ready here. So
it was different, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Being sub for Ireland and being sub for your club.
What's it like being sub for your club? Crap.
Horrible.
Miserable.
Club football.
Long term, like you're there every week, and it takes a good mentally strong person.
I was never like that.
Yeah.
I wasn't there every week.
Hunty, what's that like?
I had a full season, but I broke the guy playing in my position, and he buggered off to America, so it worked for me in the end. But no, you have to watch the game. You have to be active in your warm up, because sometimes you come on as a sub and you are breathing out your backside. You are struggling, aren't you, to get into the games hard. So you have to go run down the sideline. You might look like a busy little twat. Excuse me language if it's not. But you have to be active and up and down the touchline and watching the game and be ready.
Yeah.
It's not easy though.
So you would try and get your second win before possible, surely.
Yeah, of course it is.
You could get your second
win. You look like a right idiot, but it is possible.
Right.
You gotta do some doggies and you gotta do
I never got it. Yeah. I always got it in the game.
Most players seem to come on and get their second win on the game.
But I only had 15 minutes, sometimes 20 minutes, and I always had an impact.
Yeah, no, I know.
So
we used to love you coming on. It was like, you know, down the wing. You always had a big impact in the game. So we need that tomorrow.
Simplicity.
The most common question coming in is, surely Wes has to play. Everybody wants Wes to start.
When is Dunphy going off the TV?
No, that's I'm in that camp. That's not a Dunphy. I mean, it is a Dunphy thing, but that's a fair question.
Anytime
Wes plays, we're a better... we're not a better team every time he plays?
I think it's a gamble to start Wes tomorrow.
Okay.
I do.
Why? What's your thinking?
I just think if you'd open up and go a goal behind, I just think the mountain would be too hard to climb. They only have to score once. We have to score twice.
So you think we're more likely to concede if Wes is on the pitch?
It'll be more open. And
if he closed down as well, he's not as good as Robbie Brady or Hendricks at getting in at people and recovery. But what I would say as well on that one, sorry, it's the impact he might have as a sub that's probably greater than him starting as well.
You've got to weigh that up, the impact he has starting or the impact he has coming on as a sub. Then there's the argument throwing in, well, we might be one or two down. Then you throw him on, he didn't have enough time.
Yeah.
You know, and if you'd have started with him, we might have gone one up.
Yeah.
There's always that argument. But I agree with Dunty. It's the impact that you feel he would have starting or coming on. I think coming on bigger.
Viva would erupt when he comes on if we need a goal.
We might need a goal to get back in it. He'll come on at some stage.
Keep the ball.
And is he
maybe to win it?
Yeah.
Or to keep hold of the goal we've got.
You think the game will be too frantic and too tight and conservative for him to have a big impact if he starts? You think let the game open up a bit when he?
Well,
comes
if we are going on the front foot, then there's more legs in a Brady, a Hendricks, to get in about people, to upset them, to allow us to win free kicks in our half, to allow us to get set piece goal.
All right, I'm in the Dunphy camp there, but I'll bow to you.
Would you start?
Knowledge.
Would you start Wes? Would you?
Yeah, I just think he's the
what
only.
What you thinking?
My thinking is we have enough legs around him. I would say Wes, don't worry too much about sprinting and tiring yourself out. Sit in behind Daryl Murphy or Shane Long, whoever's playing, and everybody in the team try and fizz the ball into Wes's feet in the centre circle, and I want runners off.
That's the thing as well. You have to get it to him.
Well, true. And that's an issue sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes he has to come really deep to get it. Yeah. But even if he's getting the ball midway between our penalty box and their halfway line, I would still think Wes will find a pass. Look at the goal against Austria. Mm-hmm. Like, if Wes isn't on the pitch, we don't play.
There's a time and a place for that.
I know, but you wouldn't think Wes would be.
Coming deep to get the ball,
yeah,
as fantastic as he may look on the ball in that position.
And he will do, won't he?
Yeah,
he'll come deep trying to get it because that's the kind of player he is.
How good is the ball? How good is the player he's given it to to play the next pass?
Yeah. Austria, Vienna, James McLean. Wes to James McLean.
Now you've got James McLean in a forward position.
I have him running on.
And Shane
on. I have him
and you've got Wes on the pitch and Robbie Brady on the pitch.
My plan, we went 5-0.
That's why you're sitting there and not doing Martin's job.
I understand the pragmatism. I'm just telling you what the most common question in is, you know?
Yep.
So we've about 5-10 minutes to go here, tops. People are wondering about penalties as well. So the Danish coach has said they haven't bothered practicing. Martin O'Neill said today that we have.
Do you believe any football manager? What do you say?
50% of the time. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. O'Neill said Ireland have.
Why wouldn't they?
The football received wisdom is, well, you can't replicate the pressure, so there's no point.
I agree with that, like.
Yeah. Yeah. So do I.
It's a lot easier than training.
Even Gareth Southgate was saying today, we've want to replicate a game at Wembley, but then you're giving away your style and everything else. Mentally strong people should take penalties.
Yeah, so were there lads who were absolutely brilliant at penalties in training and would never even think of putting their hand up?
Yeah, me.
Would you not?
No.
And could you hit
Although
it?
I am.
No wonder he looked at me when I said mentally strong. He gave me a little look there like, oh, shut up on me. Talented players. Like.
No, I'd tell you what was funny in the World Cup against Spain where we just used to mess around taking penalties at the end. It was something you did, wasn't it? Quinny would do this thing where he'd bet you a tenner. And you'd have three penalties, and if he saved one, you'd owed him a tenner. That was the bet.
Right.
And he was a good goalie, Quinny. He would always save one of the three.
Yeah.
So we used to mess around doing that. So that was our practice, really.
Did you try and say to each other, let's take this seriously and try and...
Well, you wanted to win a tenner, so of course you would take it seriously. Yeah,
but did you try and create a pressure environment, or was there lots of slagging and messing?
The tenner meant a lot more, and the banter. In terms of pressure, you'd still feel it because of the crack you'd have with the lads.
You could never replicate that 20,000 you know, behind you, or the pressure of, like, you know, what goes through your head. That walk from, like, I missed one in the playoff semi for Sunderland, and the walk from, I'll tell you, the walk from the halfway line to that penalty spot, it's like walking through quicksand.
Yeah.
And the emotions that you go through, it's horrible, isn't it?
But I'd say it's out of body experience almost.
It's weird, yeah. But that, because you're saying to yourself, you know, the advice that you get given is you pick your spot, don't change it.
Yeah.
And I tell you now, right, you change your mind about 20 times. And it's just, there's all kinds go through you. But that penalty shootout against Spain in the World Cup in 2002, honest to God, right, it was like, now Quinn's 6'4". And when Mick said, do you want a penalty? He turned into 4'6". Yeah. He just shrunk, Quinny. It was like, just went, it's just, it's whoever is, you know, one day, like you said, one day you could, in that situation, the manager could go, do you fancy it? You've played well, you feel okay. You're like, yeah, I'm up for it. And then there could be another moment in a different game where he says, do you fancy it? And you think, oh, I don't fancy it. No.
Maybe that just comes to very talented players, because I always wanted to...
Did you always want to take one?
I always wanted to take one. I was just maybe eager all my life. Yeah.
Luis Garcia, like that. He wanted to take the penalty in the Champions League final.
Right.
And with Xavi Alonso, he takes the ball. And he said, Cara just turns round to him and goes, no, not you. Like that. And he turned round to Benitez. Garcia, and he went like that, and Benitez went and pointed at Xavi. And gave it to Xavi, who missed it, but he scored the rebound.
And then, sorry, was Garcia a good penalty taker or just deluded?
He would tell you he was the best.
But was he good?
Was he good?
I don't remember. Him
obviously, looked very pretty taking it, but
he looked $1 million. Yeah.
But if a manager says to you, "Do you fancy it?" You must feel a certain pressure to go, I should be brave here and say, "Yeah, I fancy it," even if you don't. Like,
no, Sunderland, I wish.
No, it takes a braver person to say no, I don't, as well, sometimes.
I'd say so, yeah, because it's kind of frowned upon. Yeah. Did you miss your one at Sunderland?
Yeah, saved. Was it a
good penalty?
He went the right way. If he'd gone the other way,
how close to the post was it?
No, it was a great save, yeah.
Any penalty scored,
I read up
on
it. I read up on it, right?
Yeah,
and there's a theory that if you're right footed, when you're in a pressurised situation, your subconscious takes over. And they say that the easiest way to strike a ball is across your body. So if you're in this pressurised situation, your body will want to do that.
Want to hook it in. Yeah. I interviewed Matt.
So it's something like 70% of penalties and I press just go that way with the right
foot.
Right?
I interviewed Matt Letizier, who was obviously brilliant at penalties, just missed the one. And he said his technique always, and it ties in with your point about don't change your mind being nonsense. He said always, he started off in his run-up and he was going to put it in the far corner, the right-hand side, open his body. Mm. But if the keeper moved last minute, it was very easy to hook the ball into the other corner. So that was his technique. So anytime he had put it in the side you're talking about, he had changed his mind in the run-up. Otherwise, it was...
Obviously, very talented too.
Aldo used to stutter, didn't he?
No, I was picking a spot. I'd practiced the week before every time and then stayed that way.
Best penalty taker I've ever seen, Kevin Sheedy.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Smashed it left foot. Just smashed it top corner. Mm. Every time.
Yeah. And if you struggle down the middle...
Just did you ever do it, what's it called, Palenka?
I used to hit one down the middle, but not
You never
soft.
Used to do that?
No, never.
It's too much of a risk.
But when you think about it, the slower the better, because the further the keeper is dived, if he is, but no, my balls were never that big enough.
David Moyes, thanks for the image of your balls.
Thanks for the image,
now I'm left.
David Moyes, actually, when he was manager, this is what I've heard, I don't know if it's true, but he'd get everyone in, so he'd decide on who's taking the penalties, and he would get everyone to tell the group, what way are you going? So it'd be, Hunty, what are you doing with yours? Bottom left. And he'd say, right, do that no matter what, and if you miss, it's my fault. That was his way of trying to take the pressure off the players. But I mean, you're just going to feel pressure no matter what. Can you imagine having to take one tomorrow to keep us in with a chance of going to the World Cup? Who are our penalty takers? Brady?
Wow.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Myler. Do you know why I can't understand why they don't take penalties? And because all they do is strike balls all day, isn't it? Yeah. Goalkeepers.
Yeah. Harry Hart as well. Yeah, goalkeepers are the best, probably.
They strike the ball the best. They had all the goal kicks and the passes out and stuff.
So do footballers kick it all the time.
Yeah, but goalkeepers, like,
you're kicking
technique,
the ball too.
Really,
if they're
going
to go for firm and pick a side, then you think goalkeepers will be...
smash it.
Yeah. Who are other penalty takers? We've got Brady, we've got Myler.
Myler.
Is Hendrick a good penalty taker?
Arthur, yeah.
Do you know?
See, I'd give it to Stephen Ward.
Okay, Ward, yeah.
Mentally.
If Shane Long's on the pitch, here's the one
He'll
for
want one.
Shane Long hasn't scored since February. Yep. I don't know how his confidence is. He kind of has to take one, does he?
The longer he goes without a goal, the closer he becomes to scoring a goal. Possibly.
Mind blown.
No, I didn't even get that.
would you...
Yep.
Long will step up and take one.
Yeah. He wouldn't hesitate anyway.
Forward as well, isn't he? You'd expect
that's what I mean, a bit of pressure to do it. Yeah.
Now, having said that, Kevin Doyle was never... He scored a few early on, and he missed a couple at Reading. And I was like, no, I'm not having this. I jeopardised our friendship to grab the ball off him. I know I did. But I still grabbed it off him on the day and scored, luckily, against Liverpool, actually.
In which, that was just a penalty in normal time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But that was 0-0.
I had a question yesterday. It was, I might be getting it wrong, but I know the answer. Which player's never missed a penalty in the Premier League or was it the last 10 years?
I heard that yesterday.
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
Well, how many has he taken? It can't be someone who's only
like
taken
loads, like a penalty taker for his team. Although he's not this season.
Go on.
Torre. Yeah, Torre.
Yeah, Torre.
Oh, yeah.
Never missed a penalty.
He's laid back as can be.
Own on Twitter. I'll get some more questions out because we're taking your last few questions. The winner gets this Irish jersey here, signed by all the current squad as we sit here in our fancy Benetti suits.
It's nice, isn't it?
Very nice, yeah.
I don't like the way you say fancy. Because it's everyday wear for people as well. Like, suppose you dress scabby sometimes. Doesn't mean the whole world has
the best.
It's nice
that.
Gear. Like.
This is the best I've ever looked.
Even on your wedding day. You
and even the Irish boys look well. Like, and,
It's everyday use for Hunty. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Jason looks 10 years younger, not 10 years older. What's
Benjamin Button. Benjamin Button, I am. You seen that film?
Do you moisturise?
I do, actually, yeah. I am a modern
man.
Do you,
Hunty?
Yeah.
What did he say about me?
Well... Look, your hair
so
looked
10 years older.
Quickly.
The reason I look 10 years younger is because I'm sitting next to Hunt.
Do you think if you hadn't been dyeing your hair...
Head and shoulders.
Do you think if you hadn't dyed your hair, it would have counted against you genuinely?
1,000,000%.
Really?
Yeah. I would have been grey at 32, I reckon.
And that would have been...
Full on.
Managers would have said, he's
gone. People,
did you dye your hair?
Yeah.
Did you?
For about 27, 28.
Did
like.
You?
Yeah.
Wow.
But it would have been people sitting in the stand, scouts, and I see it now from going to games. They judge people very much on appearance as well and how they look, how they run. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it is, you know. So, some final points then. Leaving our hearts aside, we all obviously are desperate for Ireland to get
questions.
To Well, hang on a second. I have to get some... well, okay, last question.
Well, ask us a few. I'm enjoying myself. And this is up for grabs anyway.
We're nearly done. Pippo Sullivan.
And you look $1 million. You need the airtime.
Let's keep this
going. The longer you're on.
Clark Kent and all that.
You need to get some work off the back of this, Clark Kent. Yeah.
Have you got a missus? You've got a half decent chance now of getting one after this.
Well, the glasses go brilliant.
Oh dear. Pip O'Sullivan says, I just want to get to World Cup with the players that are coming through at the higher levels. We could be waiting a while if we don't qualify this time around. Slightly pessimistic on the talent coming through. There you go. David Myler has to start tomorrow. How important can he be? Very, I suppose.
That's not winning that question.
That's no. That, you'd want to try again if you want to win the jersey, I think. Georgie on Twitter, what's the key to winning the game tomorrow? How do you go?
Patience.
Patience, okay. Does Wes play tomorrow? Not according to these two. Jimmy Allen on Facebook was in Brussels for that playoff with Belgium. A great trip. Oh, but Jesus, yeah. It rained like nothing on earth.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Met a few legends, in brackets, he has nameless, in the hotel after. Had a great night.
The one thing, even though we lost quite a few of the playoffs, I was involved in. I think I was involved in four or five. Won one. We celebrated like we qualified. That was the only good thing about it.
Yeah.
Was it the Turkey? Turkey when Cass punched the centre half, wasn't
it? Last game of the big fight,
Tony Ickey, the security, ran on and got Roy off the pitch of all the players. Just got Roy.
Where's Roy?
It was like Alex had rang up and gone, get Roy off the pitch. It's like, get him off. And we were just getting battered.
Hearts aside, be brutally pragmatic and analytical here. What's the most likely result tomorrow? Denmark to go through or Ireland?
I don't think it'll be high scoring.
Yeah.
I think it'll be I like that word, pragmatic. Mm-hmm. I learned what it was about a month ago and kept using it in every interview.
That's a pragmatic question.
Yes, I think it'll be a pragmatic approach by both managers. I do actually think it'll be a pragmatic approach by both managers. I think patience is the key. Mm. I think it'll be a one. We'll either get done two or we'll win one. Okay. And I think we'll win one.
So for you, first goal is the winner?
Yes.
We score first, it'll be, right lads, everyone back, we're parking the bus kind of a thing?
We are brilliant. Even the Holland game, when I scored, the last 25 minutes was the best defending of a team I've ever been involved with. Yes. We fought everything good. Didn't we? We got that ability.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. We all fight for each other. And I think that's a testament to the team spirit we have and the closeness as players we are. Yeah. We just didn't want to let each other down. Yeah. And they got that, this team.
It's only 35 minutes before you mentioned that Holland game. Good.
I just hope
not the one away. Not the one at all.
I just hope nothing silly happens or a penalty that wasn't a penalty and a decision is made. Yeah. We keep it tight, we'll...
Jason's point, if we go one up, he thinks we hang on. If we concede, they probably nick another. Is that how you see it going as well?
I think it'd be 0-0. I think.
Okay.
I'd like to think we'll nick a goal. But if we are chasing it, we're dangerous. We're vulnerable when we do chase the game.
Yeah.
I think it might be extra time penalties.
If it goes to extra time, I presume both teams really get nervous and just...
I'm going to test you. Yeah. Do away goals go after extra time?
Yeah. They have 120 minutes to get an away goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Off the ball. On News Talk. In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.